Lent is a season of self-examination, of prayer, fasting, and works of love. It's really a good definition of what happens during Lent. And the word Lent, it comes most recently from the German word Lenz. Any German speakers? Anyone know what Lenz means? Pardon? No, it means something else. Lenz. And then the Dutch word Lente means something. It means spring. Because Lent, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, happens during the spring. In Latin, there's a word for Lent, and it is not Lent. It's a long word. So here, long word warning coming up that I may not pronounce correctly, but I'm going to say it with confidence, authority. There we go. Steve, when Steve Case was here, he said, say it with authority. So the Latin word is quadragesima. Quadragesima. It's more closely related to the religious aspect of Lent because quadragesima means 40th day before Easter. So that makes sense because Lent is 40 days. But I wonder what Lent might have been called if it had arisen more as a Southern Hemisphere thing. Because in the Southern Hemisphere, Lent doesn't happen during the spring. It happens during the autumn, a season of harvest, but also a season where creation begins to die. Spring is where it starts. And so those, you know, the words that we use during the ashes time, it's remember you are dust, and from dust you shall return. They have a much closer connection to the seasonal experience of Lent in the Southern Hemisphere than they do in the Northern Hemisphere. So I wonder, what would Lent be called if it had arisen really in the Southern Hemisphere? Because we wouldn't have called it Lent, because that wouldn't make any sense at all. So what, you know, common languages in the Southern Hemisphere, in Swahili, spoken in South Africa and many other countries in the Southern Hemisphere, vuli means fall. However, vuli is a more recent word for fall, and it wasn't always that. As a matter of fact, there was, until somewhat recently, no Swahili word for fall. There was only the season of leaves. That was, and so here's another really difficult to understand or say word alert here. Here's what it is. In Swahili, the word that is closest to what we would describe as autumn is Majira ya Mahiani Kupukukika. I may say it again, but I don't know. That's the season of leaves. And Majira ya Mahiani really means the season of leaves. And this kupukukika doesn't have a easily definable meaning, but it's necessary to express the season. So that would be a really good name for Lent if it had arisen in the Southern Hemisphere. This sort of undefinable, yet it's something that's going on. So people might be asking nowadays, what are you giving up for kupukukika? And then, well, after laughing for a while, because it is, it's a long word and it's kind of funny to English-sounding ears, but kupukukika, I think, would be a good way to describe Lent to a person in the Southern Hemisphere who didn't understand why you would call something spring when it was autumn. Kupukukika. Go ahead, say it. 40 days of it. 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness. 40 years Israel wandered in the wilderness. 40 days as they lengthen for us, as life begins to show over all creation. Or 40 days as they become shorter for everyone that lives in the Southern Hemisphere, as death becomes evident over all creation. All good ways to understand Lent. And Lent is a season of self-examination, prayer, fasting, and works of love. It's also a time when many folks decide to give something up. Have you thought of giving something up for Lent? The common things are chocolate, soda, or pop, as it's known mostly in Chicagoland. Soda people, pop people, Brussels sprouts. Oh, you're giving up Brussels sprouts? Yeah, that's really hard. Tonight's Bible reading actually has something to say about giving up things, you know, like Brussels sprouts for Lent. Remember the reading. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. You know, I'm giving up chocolate for Lent. It's really hard. Feel sorry for me. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I'll have you know that I give a lot to this church. Anyone ever said that or ever heard that? I've heard that as a pastor. It's not something that I respond well to, just in case anyone ever wants to know that. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Totally busted me, praying in front of everyone in church. And sometimes, I admit, doing the sermon prayer. You know what the sermon prayer is? It's the prayer that's too long, that really isn't just talking to God, it's telling the congregation how to think, because you think they ought to do that. And if you put it in the form of a prayer, maybe they'll think that. I chide myself for doing it, but I know I've done it. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal, but put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may not be seen, or may be seen not by others. I don't know that I've seen that a whole lot, although in youth groups, sometimes there's the 30-hour famine, and sometimes there's the fast that lasts. In the United Church of Christ, it's usually called the fast that lasts. And so for 30 hours, someone doesn't eat. And the easiest thing to do while you're not eating is to go to school during that day and say, no, I can't have lunch because, you know, I'm fasting. Because I'm doing this thing with church, I'm fasting. And you can frame it as, look, I'm being a witness for Jesus by saying that I go to church, when really you're saying, look how cool I am for fasting. The Bible has something to say about that, and it's related to this giving something up for Lent or giving something up for another purpose. And then, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I'll just say we're all good at that. We're all good at storing up treasures for ourselves on earth. And I don't think we have any idea what it means to store up treasures in heaven. You know, these verses, they're not at all anti-religious, even though they say anti-things about the way we express religion. They're anti-look how holy I am. And they're not anti-generosity. They don't say don't give. They're anti-pat me on the back because I helped the poor. And they aren't anti-prayer. They're anti-look how excellent I am when I pray. And they aren't anti-fasting at all. They're anti-look at how cool I am because I'm fasting. And they aren't even anti-wealth. They're anti-give me more and more and more and more. See, these verses, they give us great perspective about getting ready for Easter. And that's what Lent is about, too. They give us great perspective about giving things up for Lent. And remember, Lent is a season of self-examination, of prayer, fasting, and works of love. Self-examination, not for everyone to see and for everyone to notice, but for each of us to take an honest look at our lives, and to think about how we can grow closer to God. And then prayer, not for everyone to see and notice, but for each of us to spend time talking to God and listening for what God has to say to us. And then fasting, not for everyone to see and notice, but for each of us to gain a better understanding of relying on God for strength. And then works of love, not for the recognition, but for each of us and for all of us in community. To heed the words that are from the prophet Isaiah, actually, in Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7, these words. Works of love involve breaking the chains of injustice, getting rid of exploitation in the workplace, freeing the oppressed, canceling debts, sharing our food with the hungry, inviting the homeless and poor into our homes, putting clothing on the shivering, ill-clad, and being available for our families. Isaiah 58, verses 6 and 7. And doing all of that, not for any recognition, reward, or any fame, but doing it because it is what God desires of us. There's no secret to that. May our Lenten journey be one of self-examination, prayer, fasting, and works of love. Amen.